Series of Heroes of the Faith, and today we're going to look at a guy named Moses. Ever heard of him? There's so many stories that we could talk about Moses. I mean, Moses experienced so many different times where he had to have faith, and he learned to trust in God. We're going to look at one that is an amazing story of the crossing of the Red Sea. Just one of the many stories of Moses and faith. And it's a great story, great lessons for us. So it's in Exodus 14 is where we're going to go and look at this story. So let's stand as we read God's word this morning. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of his best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt and the officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth and opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? Have you done this by bringing us? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you will see today will never be seen again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of the cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the enemies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove back the sea with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided. The Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud on the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of the chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, we come to you today and ask for you to teach us through your word, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher. We pray that you would teach us today what you want us to learn from your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amazing story. Amazing story. First thing we see in this story is that faith in God should lead us to obey him. Faith in God should lead us to obey him. Moses and the people of Israel had been on a crash course in trusting in God. Think about all they'd been through just to get out of Egypt with all the 10 plagues that they went through. Trusting God and seeing God work. God is trying to teach them to trust him. Now, when they left Egypt, it's a large group of people. We need to understand that to understand this story. If you go a few pages further in your Bible to the book of Numbers, it numbers the tribes, and it says there's over 600,000 men of fighting age. So if you give every one of them a wife, I don't know if they're all married, but let's say they are. If you give every one of them a wife, and let's say they each have two kids, that's 2.4 million people. And it could be more than that. It is a lot of people heading out across the desert following God, and God is leading them. God is leading them with a cloud of pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, leading them out. It's interesting when you read here, you'll see that God did not take them through the easy route along the ocean because he was afraid that when they got to the Philistines who live along the ocean, the Philistines would say, hey, time out. We're not letting 2.4 million people come through here. And they're going to fight and there's going to be a war and the Israelites would be afraid and turn back to Egypt. So he takes them out into the desert. He's going to take the scenic route, if you will, through the desert. God, as he leads them to an unlikely place. It's interesting because he gave them very clear directions to go in the scripture here. This place called Pi-Hahiroth and Baal-Zephon and Migdol. And we don't know where those places are exactly because they've disappeared. There's no sites where you can say, this is it. A lot of people have ideas, and here's one of the main ideas. And it's, you know, it's as good as any other idea. We don't know for sure. But here's one idea that the people were traveling out here, out in this area. They're traveling across the desert. They're probably going to go this direction, but God changes their direction. He changes their direction, sends them down here to this place right on the Red Sea right here, a place what is in called Nineveh. Right there is a likely site where they cross. We don't know exactly, but that's very likely one of the places. The thing that we see here, when you can see from this map, he's leading them to a dead end. Do you see that? He's leading them to a dead end. And the Egyptians are going to come. He's telling them to go to this place where there's no place for you to go. And the remarkable thing is the people do it. That's the remarkable thing. They do it. They go. They followed him. God is going to use this to build a people's faith. They need to trust in him. In bringing them to this place, God's going to test and build their faith. God told Moses, he said, through this, I'm going to display my glory. So the people in Israel and Egypt will know that I am the Lord. But also he's using this so the people of Israel will build their faith. They need to trust him. If they're going to really be his people and take that promised land and be the people of God, they need to trust him. So God is going to use this whole story to build the faith of his people. We see here that faith in God must hold strong in trials. Now, God knows what's going to happen in this story, obviously. The people don't know. So this is a real test of their faith. And this test is going to get stronger. Because the people in Egypt, the leaders in Egypt are going to change their mind. They had freely let the people of Israel go, and now they changed their mind. Because Pharaoh desired to bring his slaves back. He wanted to get the whole motivation to Pharaoh seems to be here, not revenge, but economics. He's lost 600 men and their women. He's lost his labor force. And they realize it. And yeah, he's probably mad about the whole thing, but he wants to get them back. Pharaoh was a hard-hearted, hard-headed man. He'd been through so much. Think about what he had been through with all these 10 plagues. Remember how Moses kept going before him? Let my people go. Let my people go. And Pharaoh would say, no, 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 no. Pharaoh had all these opportunities to admit that the Lord was God, to change his mind and repent. God was very patient with Pharaoh. Hopefully you see that in this story. He could have started with plague 10, but he had 10 of them. He's given Pharaoh an opportunity and the people of Egypt an opportunity to admit that he is the Lord. They didn't do it. Instead, he went further and further into the darkness. He hardened his heart. And it says in the scripture that God hardened his heart. Now, don't feel sorry for Pharaoh for an instant. When God hardens someone's heart, what he's doing is allowing them to continue to reject him. He's allowing them to continue to reject him and go against him. And he does that, and Pharaoh hardens his heart. He had so many opportunities. And now he wants his slaves back. And so he sends his army out to find them. It's not going to be hard to track them, is it? There's just a little trail through the desert where 2.4 million people walked. It's going to be easy to follow that trail. They know exactly where to go. And they think these people are nuts. Look where they've done. They've trapped themselves there by the sea. So they're going out to get these slaves back. The people find themselves trapped. They are literally trapped, trapped by the sea, no way of escape. Now, if we use that map, which is a possible place, a place called Nineveh, here is an aerial photo of that site. It's in Egypt, right on the Red Sea. One of the reasons it might be this site is that this is the only place along that part of the Red Sea where there's an area down by the Red Sea that's big enough to contain millions of people. Doesn't look like it from the satellite photo, but they say that's 15 square miles. So it's big enough where 2.4 million people could camp down there, right? Now you see it's going to be hard to exit out the other way. Look at those rough mountains. They're trapped. They're trapped. And behind them, they see the Egyptian army coming. And when they look out at the sea, here's what they see. This is the Red Sea. That's the view. We're not talking about a little tiny lake. This is big, and it's deep. That's what they look at. They're trapped. But of course, God hasn't brought them here to trap them, has he? Another fascinating thing, when you look at this, you see how impossible it is, and of course it is a miracle. But people have mapped this area of the sea and have found that right here from Nineveh in Egypt, going on to Saudi Arabia, right at that spot, there is a natural land bridge under the water. You see it there where it's higher there in the middle? On either side, there's these deep, deep, deep caverns that go just like almost a mile down. But right there, it's still deep, but it's not like a mile down. And God can make it so. You see, the problem is God could part the water anywhere, but the people have to walk through that. There's kind of a natural little walkway where they could walk through. Isn't that amazing how God plans all that stuff out? They've also found artifacts here. You know, people have gone and looked in that in the water there, and they found things that look like possible chariot wheels. Now, it's hard to confirm it because the coral has grown all over it, you know, so it doesn't look like a chariot wheel exactly, but it's in the shape of chariot wheels, covered with coral. Very well could be evidence. Pretty fascinating. God did not bring them here to trap them, but for them to trust him and do a miracle thing. Well, if you have faith in God, your faith must overcome fear. And that's what these people had to do. Their faith had to overcome their fear. Because as soon as they saw the enemy coming, their faith was chased away by fear. That faith that had led them to boldly march out into the desert, now they saw the Egyptian army coming, and they immediately, in an instant, abandoned their faith, and they panicked. It says they were terrified. The faith was just gone like that. Terrified. And not only were they terrified, they started complaining. They tell Moses, what'd you do? Bring us out here to die? So it would have been better if we stayed in Egypt. I mean, they went from fear to complaining and to despair. They'd have no hope at all. It's interesting that these people who had seen all these miracles in Egypt at this moment have no faith, it appears. The only good thing they did, it says they cried out to the Lord. That's a good thing. Other than that, there's no evidence of faith. But there is a guy that did, and that's Moses. He had faith. He inspired them to trust in God. Now, it's amazing that you can see in this story how the faith of one man can make a big difference. One man. These millions of people, but there's one guy, Moses. He believes in God, and he's going to inspire them to believe in God as well. Remember, they'd been criticizing him and complaining to him. He doesn't even try to defend himself. He just says, trust God. First thing he tells them, they are told not to be afraid. Does that sound familiar at all? Don't be afraid. It's everywhere in the Bible. It's one of the most repeated commands in the Bible. Don't be afraid. They had every reason to be afraid, right? They're trapped. The Egyptian army's coming down. They got a Red Sea in front of them. They're trapped, but they haven't figured God into the equation. Yes, the Egyptian army plus the Israelites trapped by the sea means disaster if you don't figure God in. But if you take the Egyptian army and the Israelites trapped by the sea and add God in the equation, who is by their side, it means victory. They needed to put God into the equation. They need to realize what the psalmist would write later. God is our refuge and strength, a very present, ever-present help in trouble. Refuge and strength. They were told to stand firm in God's promises. Moses told them, stand firm. Stand firm. Now, when Moses went and talked to the people, when this whole plague thing was going on, God was getting ready to leave them, get them out of Egypt, God told Moses to tell the people, I am going to honor the promise that I gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that their descendants would occupy the promised land. Tell the people, I'm going to give it to you. He reaffirmed this promise. I'm going to give you this land. So Moses is telling them, stand firm in what God has said. He didn't bring us out here to die. He's going to fulfill his promise. Trust him. Stand firm in his promises. They were told to expect a great victory. One characteristic of faith is expectancy. They needed to expect that a great thing was going to happen. They were going to see the deliverance of the Lord. He tells them, the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. You're never going to see them again. Those Egyptians who mistreated you and beat you and enslaved you and killed your children, remember those guys? You're never going to see them again. It's going to be a great victory. Moses is calling them to change their perspective. All they could see at that moment was the army coming down the hill. He is challenging them to look to the Almighty God that's going to rescue them and give them a great victory. A great victory. When I read this story, I couldn't help remember the story of Elijah and the prophet Elijah when he was surrounded by the Aramean army. The Aramean army is really mad. They want to capture Elijah, and the Arameans surround, and Elisha's servant says, oh no, Elijah, what are we going to do? We're surrounded by a big army. And Elisha said, hey, don't worry. Those that are with us are greater than those that are with them. And he prayed and he said, Lord, open the eyes of my servant so they can see. And Elisha's eyes of his servant's eyes were open, and he looked up the hills and he saw them lined with horses and chariots of fire surrounding them. And if you read on that story, they had a great victory the next day. Moses is trying to get them by faith to expect this great victory that God is going to bring. They were told that God was going to fight for them. God was going to fight for them. The Lord will fight for you. He said, you only need to be still. They have over 600,000 fighting men, and not one of them are going to be needed in this battle. It's not like they don't have to do anything. They got to walk across the sea. They don't have to fight. The Lord's going to fight for you. The Lord Almighty is going to fight for you. In Exodus 15, the song that they sang after this was all done, they said, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army have been hurled into the sea. He will fight for them. Faith in God will experience God's direction. Well, it's interesting because in this story, after all this had happened, God told Moses to get moving. It's kind of fascinating because he says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. I find that almost kind of funny. I mean, okay, there is a time for prayer, and we know that. There's a time for prayer, but there's a time to get moving too. Okay, you've prayed, Moses. Now go. Go. Get moving. And I don't know this for sure. I'm speculating. But I think what happened at this moment is they started walking to the Red Sea. Hasn't parted yet, but they're getting them ready, and they're getting ready to move. Get going, he says. Get ready. Get going. God told Moses to trust him to make a way. He told him a very unusual plan. You're going to raise your staff and your hand over the sea, and the water's going to divide so the Israelites can go through on dry ground. Now, God had done some amazing miracles throughout time through Moses, but nothing like this. But that's the unusual plan. Stretch out your, raise your staff, stretch out your hand, the waters are going to part. In Psalm 77, it says, your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. God's going to lead them through a man named Moses. But it was God's footprints. God was really the leader working through this man who trusted in him. The presence of God protected the people. It's interesting because the people had been protected and led every day. Remember, God's presence was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They always saw God's presence. At this moment, when the Egyptian army is coming, God's presence moves from the front of them to behind them to protect them. He becomes a barrier. It says on one side, the side where the people of Israel are, it's going to be a cloud of fire, pillar of fire. On the other side, it's going to be a cloud of darkness. So the Egyptians are lost in the darkness. The Israelites enjoy the light. And it's a protection barrier. So the Egyptians cannot get the Israelites, and the Israelites couldn't escape and go defect to the Egyptians if they're too scared. No one can approach each other. It's God separates them. And isn't that a picture, symbolic picture? You know, if you trust in Christ, you're part of the kingdom of light. If you reject Christ, you're in the darkness. There's just two sides, light and darkness. God was protecting them. The psalmist said it this way, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Faith in God will see the miraculous works of God. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and God did the work of drying up the sea. A strong east wind came in. That must have been quite the wind, huh? To do this miraculous wind, to dry up the sea and stack the water up so there's walls of water and a path to go through. It's also, to me, a picture of the grace of God. Because think about it for a moment. Do these people deserve God to do this for them? After they haven't trusted in him, they've been whining and complaining. He doesn't do it because they've been good or anything they've done. He does it because he loves them and he's going to save them. Grace, the grace of God. The people, by faith, saw the sea divide. Must have been a great moment. Can you imagine? I would just love to see the replay on this. Psalm 78, he divided the sea and led them straight through. He made the water stand firm like a wall. A miracle. A miracle. Of course, here's that famous picture from the Ten Commandment movie. That's Charlton Heston. Who's playing Moses? But I love the picture anyway. Try to get us to imagine what it must have been like to see that wall of water divided so the people can walk through. The only thing that's wrong with the picture, in my mind, is the path has to be wider because we got to get 2.4 million people through there. Got to be a little wider. But other than that, the artist did a good job with the picture. By faith, the people walked through the sea. Do you realize that this took faith? How many of you would enjoy walking through a path where there's a wall of water on your right and a wall of water on your left and probably hundreds of feet high, way over your head? I think it'd be a little scary. A little scary, but they did it. Now, granted, they didn't have much option. The Egyptians are behind them. It's kind of forcing them a little bit to do this. But they, by faith, they walk through the sea. Hebrews 11 gives them credit for that. By faith, the people pass through the Red Sea as on dry land. Again, pictures don't quite do it, quite credit, but here's one artist's depiction of this scene. The waters back through and this great crowd of people making their way across the sea on dry land as God did this mighty, amazing miracle. It'd take a while for this to happen with 2.4 million people going through, right? And when they look back, they see the Egyptians are coming behind them. They're using the same path. Scripture says that it was the last watch of the night, which would be between 2 and 6 in the morning, and God saw the Egyptians coming, and he threw them into confusion. And chariot wheels started falling off, and they had trouble driving, and they were in confusion, and they were done. The Egyptians said, "The Lord is fighting for them. Basically, we went out of here." But by faith, the people saw the sea return. It was at daybreak, it says, right at daybreak, when the Lord told Moses to stretch out his hand over the sea again. All the people of Israel had made it to the other side. The Egyptians are still in the path. And as he held out his hands over the water, the walls of water were released, and those walls came tumbling down, swallowing up the army of Egypt. The sea became the sword of the Lord. The same sea that saved the people of Israel destroyed the army of Egypt. And the people saw the sea return. By faith, the people saw God's mighty power. Mighty power. They will sing on the other side of the Red Sea in that famous song, "Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy." Shattered the enemy. Again, it's hard to imagine this. This is another scene from that the Ten Commandment movie, where we see the soldiers down in the trench and the water starting to come back as the people watched. Amazing scene, the mighty power of God. And through all this, the faith of the people was greatly strengthened. Greatly strengthened. Psalm 106 says, "The water covered their adversaries, not one of them survived. Then they believed their promises and sang his praise." It's interesting that it says here in the scripture that after all this happened, the last verse says, "The people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in his servant Moses." What's interesting about that is when you read the 10 plagues that happened in Egypt, never once does it say the people trusted in him. They saw all that, but they really never trusted in God until this moment, this test, crossing the Red Sea. At this moment, they put their trust in the Lord. And in Moses, they're going to need Moses. They put their trust in Moses. Now, they're going to struggle in the future a little bit with this. But at this moment, they did put their trust in him. And they celebrated. If you get time, read Exodus 15. Exodus 15 is a great chapter. It's a song of praise. I mean, they had a celebration on the other side. Praising God, it's all about God. They don't praise Moses once. It's all about God. You did this. We trust in you. It's amazing. They celebrated. For us, as I think about this story, I think about all the different times when we go through tough times and we don't understand what's going on. And we need to make sure, like the people of Israel, keep our eyes on the Lord, not on the problem. Trust him. And I also thought, you know, like so many of the stories in the Old Testament, there's a picture of salvation here. There's a picture of salvation here. Did you see it? We're the ones trapped on the shore because of our sin. Because of our sin, we've separated ourselves from God, who is the source of life eternal. There is a great sea that separates us between us and God. Uncrossable sea. We cannot get from where we are to where God is. And coming down behind us, down the mountain behind us, is the devil and all of his demons with the threat of hell coming to get us and to hope that we will pay for our own sins. And at just the right moment, God, in his great love, comes all the way to where we are in the person of Jesus Christ. God became a man. He came onto the beach with us, trapped there by the sea. And Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, parted the waters. providing a way of salvation through his death on the cross and a resurrection from the dead so that we can follow Jesus and believe in Jesus and have eternal life. And he leads us to the other side, to life eternal forever and ever. And at the same time, our enemies who are chasing us down are defeated in the name of Jesus, washed away by the blood of Jesus. It's a beautiful picture of salvation. Notice there's only one way. People of Israel could only be saved by going that one way through the sea. We can only be saved through the one way, and that is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. But he gives us this amazing life through Jesus Christ. Praise his name. We have a lot to be thankful for and many, many reasons to trust God. We're going to close our service with a time of prayer this morning. And prayer itself is an act of faith where we trust him with whatever is on our hearts. So as we sing a song of worship this morning, if you need to come and pray about anything that you need to pray about, this, you're invited to come. If God has prompted you or you just feel like you need to pray, let's stand together, worship our Lord, and gather for a time of prayer this morning.